Take our study this morning from the book of James, James chapter 2, verse 21 through verse 24. Tommy did a good reading for us earlier, verse 14 through verse 26 of this chapter. We want to go back to those verses 21 through 24, where we find the subject of our study in that context this morning. James 2, verse 21 through 24. The text on the chart or from the New King James Version, if you'd like to read along from the chart or from the version you brought with you, will be fine as well. In James 2 and in verse 21, James says, "Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." That is, Abraham's belief or faith in what God said was accounted, reckoned, imputed, put down to his account for, in order to, righteousness. We've studied about righteousness recently. Remember, righteousness is being declared or pronounced righteous by God. That is, one is right before God. He is upright before God when he keeps all the commandments and ordinances of God, like Zacharias and Elizabeth, parents of John the Baptizer in Luke 1 and in verse 6. They were righteous in that they kept or walked in all the commandments and ordinances of God blameless. So one is righteous when he obeys the commandments and ordinances of God. So Abraham's belief, his faith in God and what God said, was put down then for, into, or unto, in order to, his righteousness. The same statement Paul makes as well in Romans 4 and in verse 3. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Of course, these two quotes, the one by James, the one by Paul, comes from Genesis 15 and verse 6. And he, that is Abram, believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. But what is this belief based on? What is this faith based on that Abram or Abraham had? Well, the basis of this belief, the very foundation of this belief, is the Word of God itself. Genesis 15, beginning in verse 1. "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying," after these things in the context, after he was blessed by Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of Most High God, "after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord," there it is again, I should underline it, "came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he," that is the Lord, Yahweh, God, "accounted it," reckoned it, considered it to him for, in order to, righteousness. All righteousness that comes through one's faith, and we're talking about an obedience of faith, is based or finds its foundation in the Word of the Lord, the Word of God. The Word of the Lord came to Abram. The Word of the Lord came to Abram. That is, based upon the Word that God spoke, Abram believed it. He put his trust and confidence in it, that God was going to keep his promise that he had made. All faith finds its basis or foundation in the Word of God. If it is not found in the Word of God, there is no faith in it. Romans 10 and verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Many in the religious world believe that God somehow miraculously infuses them with faith or belief. Or somehow the Holy Spirit has to operate directly on them, on their heart, to give them faith. No, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. God speaks, you believe, or else you disbelieve. It's just that simple. The basis or foundation of all true faith is simply the Word of God. And man must believe that not only that God exists, but that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, seek after Him, and seek His favor in a right relationship with Him. It's not enough to just believe that God exists, but you're going to have to believe that He is a rewarder if you seek after Him. You seek His favor, and He will reward you for that. And that is the point under consideration, is you're accountable to Him. Not just that you believe in Him, but you recognize the fact that you're accountable to Him. And the only way you're going to fulfill that accountability to Him is He speaks and you obey. You believe. You come to have belief or faith that moves you in obedience to His will. I want to study with you this morning about Abraham's faith and see if there's some kind of application that we can make to our own lives today. First, let's consider Abraham's faith. Abraham's faith can be seen, first of all, when God called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees. Ur of the Chaldees is the city of Ur. If you look on a modern-day map, it's in southern Iraq between the rivers Tigris and Euphrates River. So that's where the Ur of the Chaldees is. God called him out of that region with his father, and they moved to a city called Haran before Abraham continued en route to the land of Canaan, or the land of promise that God said He would show him. So we see Abraham's faith, first and foremost, when he's called out of this region of the Ur of the Chaldees. Genesis 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord, note this, had said to Abram. When did He say this to Abram? He said it to Abram back in the Ur, back in the city of Ur in the Chaldees. And then Abram moved with his father and his family up to Haran. But after his father died in Haran, Abraham moved on in obedience to the will of God. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, get out of your country, out of the land in which you dwell, out of the Ur of the Chaldees, from your family, that is from your relatives, from your kinsmen, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Abram doesn't know where he's going. God's just going to show him this land. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of earth shall be blessed. So what did Abraham do? What did Abram do? He heard the word of the Lord and he obeyed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. He heard the word of the Lord, called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees. When Abram heard the word of the Lord, he simply obeyed what God said. He didn't know where he was going. God was going to show him the land. Get out of your land, out of your country, from your family, from your relatives. We're not called to do that. We're not called to leave the land or the state in which we live. We're not called to leave our relatives and our friends and even our father's house. But Abram was willing to do that. He perhaps gave up a lot of riches in the Ur of the Chaldees. And he went to a land which God was going to show him. He departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Now he did not know where he was going, as the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham, note this, obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Today, when we go somewhere on a trip, especially if we're going to travel this distance that Abram did, we'd look on a map and find out where we're going. He didn't know where he was going. He simply went because God told him to go. What faith, what belief, what confidence and trust in God Abram had. Well, he eventually, of course, saw the land that God told him he would see, Genesis 13 and verse 14 and following. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, "Lift your eyes now and look for the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever." It's kind of amazing, though, that Abraham never possessed any of the land that he's going to be shown. The only portion he actually possessed was land that he purchased in which he buried his dead. Hundreds of years later, his descendants would possess. Verse 16, "And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also shall be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and through its width, for I give it to you." To you. Actually, he's going to give it to his descendants hundreds of years later. "Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord." Didn't know where he was going. Finally saw the land, but never possessed any of it himself, other than enough to bury his dead on. Remember, he was 75 years of age when he left Haran. He had no children. He had no descendants. But yet God had promised that he's going to have multitudes of descendants, like the dust of the earth, if it could be numbered. That's how numerous his descendants was going to be. But he had no children. But yet he believed and trusted in the promise of God that he was going to have a child. In Genesis 15, in verse 1, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision." Note this. The word of the Lord came to him again. When the word of the Lord comes to him, he can believe it and respond in obedience, or he can disbelieve. What did he do? He believed it. "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward.' And Abram said, 'Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus.' Then Abram said, 'Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir.'" After that, of course, he changed Abram's name to Abraham. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, so he speaks again, "I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless." Walk before me, that is, carry out my commandments. Behave, conduct yourself, order your life after my word. "And I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly." Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, exalted father, but your name shall be Abraham, father of a multitude. For I have made you a father of many nations." Know this, I have made you a father of many nations. He's 99 years old. God's already made him a father of many nations, yet he has no descendant. He has no son. But yet God speaks as though it is so certain that he's already the father of many nations. Verse 6, Genesis 17. "I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you." Being 99 years old and his wife being barren and unable to bear children, though, would Abraham believe that God is able to fulfill the promise that he's going to make, that he has made to him? Remember, he is to walk in all of his commandments and ordinances. He is to believe, trust, and put his complete confidence in the promise of God. And so he says to Abram in regard to Sarah, then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. Sarah, princess or woman of nobility. And I will bless her, and also, note this, give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. Then Abram fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Remember, he's 99. So after the process of creating new life in Sarah, it would be another year before the child is born. And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. Not only did God say Sarah's going to have a son, but he gave him the name too, before he's ever conceived in Sarah's womb. Even though Abraham didn't have a child when God first told him, throughout the years, remember from 75 years of age when he was called out of Haran, till this time period, he still hadn't had a child by Sarah. But yet God promised him one. Even though all of this was not according to logic, because how could a man so old produce life? How could a woman whose womb is barren, does not have the physical ability to produce a child in the womb, how could she have a child? Only through the power of God is it possible. Only through God keeping his promise to Abraham was it possible. So even though it seemed illogical, perhaps, to Abraham and Sarah, and remember, it seemed so illogical that Abraham and Sarah on one occasion decided, well, let's help God out. Since I'm unable to bear a child, you go in to my handmaiden and you have a child with her, Ishmael. But that wasn't God's plan. That wasn't God's intent. God made a promise to Abraham. If Abraham would put his trust and confidence in God's promise, God would keep that promise. And he would. And Abraham believed that God would keep that promise. When he told him to go to a land that I will show you, God showed him the land, did he not? Though he may not have possessed any portion of it during his life, God still fulfilled that promise to Abraham and showed him the land. God is going to fulfill this promise as well. Abraham did not waver in unbelief at all. Romans 4 and verse 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. Genesis 17 and verse 5, we read earlier. In the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead, that's Abraham and Sarah, and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Who gives life even to the dead? Abraham and Sarah were as good as dead as far as having children, producing life. There was no life in them. Abraham was too old. Sarah's barren womb was barren. They were dead as far as producing life physically. But he calls those things which do not exist as though they did. I have made you a father of many nations. How could you be a father of many nations but yet has no offspring? Who contrary to hope, in hope believed. He believed in hope. Hope is desire plus expectation. He expected God to fulfill the promise, though he did not know logically how that was going to be accomplished. So that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. Genesis 15 and verse 5, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead. Since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened, note this, in faith, giving glory to God. He continued to believe, even though logically it did not make sense. And being fully convinced that what he had promised he was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Even a belief that was not based in logic. God simply spoke. Abraham didn't understand it, did not understand and comprehend how it was going to be fulfilled, but he lived his life in harmony with God's will, believing that the promise would eventually be fulfilled. In Genesis 22, in verse 1 and following, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, and he said, Here I am. And he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you." So we pass to another scene. We see the faith of Abraham when he's called out of the Ur of the Chaldees. And the faith of Abraham and God's promise to him that he was going to give him a son by his wife Sarah, who has not the ability to produce a child, but yet she's going to produce a son, and his son is not going to be called Isaac. Well, eventually that promise is fulfilled. But now God tests his faith, and we see his faith again. "Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah," note this, "and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you." What would be our response to God if God said, "Offer now your son, the only living child you have, on an altar"? Did this make any sense to Abraham? Probably not. Probably not. "God, you promised me Isaac. I've got Isaac now. He's the child of promise. He's the one through which kings are going to come from. He's the one through which descendants are going to be as numerous as the dust of the earth or the sand of the sea. He's the promised child. But now you want me to put him to death? You want me to sacrifice him on the altar?" What did Abraham do? Abraham could do nothing but obey or disobey. It's a test of his faith. He was indeed a man of great faith. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, arose and went to the place which God had told him to do. God spoke, Abraham obeyed. Even though he might not have understood it, God spoke, Abraham obeyed. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abram said to the young men, note what he said to the young men. This is how confident Abraham was in the promise that God had made to him about Isaac being the son of promise, about kings coming from this son, about descendants being as numerous as the dust of the earth. Abraham said to the young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." Abraham had such faith and confidence in him, in God, that even if he thought, if he had to put Isaac to death, God would raise him from the dead, because God would keep his promise. And that's what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 11 and verse 17 and following. "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'In Isaac your seed shall be called,' concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense." We know the account when Abraham offered Isaac on the altar, that when God saw that he was going to take the knife and offer him as a sacrifice that God has commanded, God stayed his hand and provided another sacrifice in place of Isaac. Isaac lived, but Abraham's faith was tested And no doubt it was accounted to him for righteousness. He kept the commandments of God. Abraham believed God. No matter how strange it may have been, how it all seemed, his faith stayed intact. His faith was made complete in his obedience to God, even though he simply perhaps did not understand. James 2 and verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works, the works under consideration are works of obedience? Was not Abraham justified by obedience? That's what he did. The word of the Lord came to him, he obeyed. The word of the Lord came to him, he obeyed. When he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar, do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by faith? By works, faith was made perfect. That is, it was made complete. Without obedience, faith is incomplete. There's a lot of people in the religious world today who say they have faith in God, faith in Jesus as the Son of God, but yet they'll not obey. Their faith is not complete. It is not a faith that will bring about righteousness or right standing before God. It is a faith that is incomplete. Having looked at Abraham's faith, let's look at our own faith. Our own faith. Remember, the foundation or basis of any true faith is the Word of God. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So as we consider our faith, remember that. The basis or foundation of your faith, your belief, your trust and confidence in God, which hopefully leads you to obedience, is based on the Word of God itself. God has spoken to us today just as He spoke to Abraham. So the word of the Lord has come to us today just as it came to Abraham in ages past. Hebrews 1 and verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He has made the world. God has spoken to us through Jesus Christ. We have God's word today. It is a word directed toward our hearts today. We have a basis or foundation for faith. As the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 2 and verse 1, therefore we must give the earnest heed to the things we have heard. What have we heard? We've heard the word of the Lord. We've heard the gospel. The Lord has spoken to us through His Son, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels, that is the Old Testament law, proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? The point is, we will not escape. God spoke to Abraham directly. He speaks to us through His Word today, through the Lord Jesus Christ. We will not escape God's judgment if we refuse to believe and obey. Even though we might not see the logic of many of God's commands, if we have the kind of faith that Abraham had, we will obey every command of God. The Lord spoke, Abraham obeyed. The Lord spoke, Abraham obeyed. So when the Lord speaks to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, when the Lord speaks, we believe it and we obey it. So if we have that kind of faith, the same kind of faith that Abraham had, even though the commands of God might seem illogical, even though we might not understand why He gave us such commands, if we simply respond in obedience to the commands, we'll have the kind of faith that Abraham had, the kind of faith that will bring about one's justification, the kind of faith that will bring about one's righteousness before God. Consider 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23 in regard to our faith. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, Paul said, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which He was betrayed took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you, do this in remembrance of Me. In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. Now, we might not understand why it is that God commands us to do that through the Word of Christ. We simply have to obey it. We simply have to do it. I believe that if God had not given us this memorial feast, though, we would soon forget it. We would soon forget the death of Jesus Christ on our behalf. I believe that to be the case because just think about all the memorials that men set up. If there's no memorial to bring about a remembrance, that person or that event is soon forgotten. Don't put a memorial up or a headstone up in a graveyard for someone that's just passed away. Eventually, that person is forgotten. Weeds grow up, grass grows up, trees grow up, but there's no memorial there. Soon forgotten. The same thing about events. Even in our own nation, we have many memorials in Washington, D.C. Why? To cause people to remember. Without keeping God's commandments to remember the death of Jesus Christ on our behalf, we would soon forget. But we might not fully understand and comprehend why we got to do it, and why we got to do it on the first day of the week, every week, as every first day of the week rolls around. Why? We don't have to know all the reasons why, and it doesn't have to be logical to us. We simply have to obey. Same thing is true in regard to Hebrews 10 and verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. We might not understand why, when the church assembles, we ought to be there, whether it be on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night. Whenever the church assembles, we ought to be there. Now, we might not understand why that's important and all the reasons why we ought to be there, but we ought to be there. We ought to simply carry out the command of God. If we do, then we have the kind of faith that Abraham had. Consider this command as well, Mark 16 and verse 15. Jesus said to his apostles, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." He who believes, the one who believes the gospel and then submits in obedience and baptism will be saved. Now we might not logically understand what's the point of being dipped or submerged in water. We might not see and fully understand and comprehend why God would require that of us. We might think that it seems to be illogical. Yeah, am I washing my flesh? What am I doing? Peter even deals with that in his writing in 1 Peter 21. But it doesn't have to be logical to us. We don't have to understand all the ins and outs about it. We simply have to believe the gospel and respond in obedience to it. That's what we have to do. If you believe, the only thing that remains for you to do is to be baptized for the remission of your sins. And when you obey, your faith will be made perfect. James 2 and verse 22. Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, that is by obedience, faith was made complete. You see, you believe the gospel, but your faith is incomplete unless you're willing to obey what the gospel says. You'll have the kind of faith that Abraham had. When you obey, your faith will not only be made complete, you'll be counted as righteous before God. James 2 and verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He was called the friend of God. So when you believe the word of God, when you respond in obedience, that belief of which you render obedience to, will be put down, accounted, reckoned to your righteousness, your right conduct before God. Not only that, you will also be justified. James 2 and verse 24. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. You'll stand just before God. You'll stand in a right relationship with God. If you will obey when God speaks, you believe the gospel, respond to it in obedience, you will be justified. Stand right before God and in a right relationship with Him. And not only that, you'll have a faith that is alive and active and not a dead faith. James 2 and verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works, faith without obedience is dead. No one wants to be said of them that they have a dead faith, a faith that is inactive, a faith that does not bring about one's justification or one's righteousness or one's salvation. What do you think Abraham would do about obeying the gospel? If God said, believe the gospel and be baptized, Abraham, what do you suppose Abraham would do? We know exactly what Abraham would do. He would obey the gospel. He would be baptized. So what about you this morning? God's word says, believe the gospel and be baptized, for in order to the remission of your sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. If you're willing to do that, you can be saved this day. You can become a child of God. Galatians 3, 26. For you're all sons or children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Believe and obey the gospel this day. Exhibit the kind of faith that Abraham had, the kind that brings about justification and salvation. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, please come as we sing the song, Selected.